Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. This is our good news segment. I want to thank you for tuning us in. I have a very special guest joining me here today. Sheetal Parma is joining me here today as board certified genetic counselor, vice president of medical affairs at Natera. Now, let's talk about what this is. Non-invasive. Anytime I say the word non-invasive, actually, I guess that's two words, non-invasive. I love having conversations with people that have figured that out. Why? Because we're looking at being on the front edge of science, front edge of technology, to the point where we're starting to look at alternatives that are so powerful and put people at ease. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So then if I take non-invasive prenatal testing and I put that all together, that's even like more good news, right?
Absolutely. That's what we call NIPT. Yes.
The reason I say this is because I'm doing more interviews now where non-invasive comes in front of it. And I got to tell you, I can go a couple of years back and that was not the case. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Let's NIPT. That's what we're talking about. But let's talk about what that is. And my question to you goes like this, what it is, but what have we done to change the landscape of how we do this testing? You want to take it from there?
Sure. Yeah. As you mentioned, NIPT stands for non-invasive prenatal test, and it's a screening test that can help identify during pregnancy if there is a risk for certain genetic conditions. We call them chromosome abnormalities. Examples include trisomy 13, trisomy 18, or Down syndrome, although there are others. And NIPTs are ordered by a physician and can be done as early as 9 weeks in the pregnancy. It's a simple blood test, so it poses essentially no risk, right, to the patient or to the baby. And, you know, as you mentioned, it provides a lot of reassurance. So, you know, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists recommend that NIPT be offered to all pregnant patients, regardless of their age or other risk factors. And this is because NIPT is, you know, is one of the most accurate screening tests that has become available. And so, you know, anyone who's pregnant that wants to get more information about their pregnancy and, like you said, to get reassurance, has this option to do this screening test.
So as we think about this, I mean, I want to just ask you for a minute about your journey here. When I speak to people that are so dedicated and committed, there's usually a story behind it. And the story is usually something that stems from your origins of passion. See, I love that. Mm-hmm. What is it that put you in this direction and has got you all fired up? I mean, what touched your heart to really make this more than just a career for you?
Yeah, you know, that's such a great question. I have been interested in genetics since I was in high school, and I always thought I'm going to go on and be a scientist and get a PhD in genetics. And I realized really quickly when I was in college that, you know, bench work was not for me. I really loved teaching. I really love educating. I really love helping people. And so genetic counseling is an amazing career because it allows me, I mean, I spent 11 years before I came to Natera, talking to patients, right? Talking mm-hmm. about these different testing options. And it's so nice to be a part of people's, you know, life journeys, you know? And that's really what I love about being a genetic counselor.
I love it. You know, can you please comment on this for me, Sheetal? But one of the things that I've been really struck by over time, especially with my friends and seeing them get diagnosis or seeing things, you know, where they just don't know the right questions to ask. I've seen more people sit in front of a doctor and just totally freeze up. I want to ask you, can you coach our listeners as to what they should do to get ready? What type of questions, what kind of type of counseling should they get? Because you see, for me, it's the difference between asking for something that would seriously help you and being too afraid to ask.
Yeah, it's, you know, having information is really powerful, but it, to your point, it's really important to have the discussion before you go through with testing so you know exactly what to expect, yep, right, as you go forward, as opposed to just like getting testing and then finding out on the back end what that meant for you. So, mm-hmm, you know, we encourage you to talk to your healthcare provider, right? Anyone that's interested in prenatal testing or screening should talk to their healthcare provider, and you want to ask, you know, what is it in your family and medical history that would you is important to know with regard to risks to the pregnancy? For example, maternal age is an important risk factor. So having that discussion with your doctor about what your actual risks are, or with a genetic counselor. And then you want to ask about what the difference is between screening tests like NIPT and diagnostic tests. And an example of a diagnostic test would be like amniocentesis. And so talking about the differences between those and the risks and benefits of both. And then if you choose to have a non-invasive prenatal test, you want to talk upfront about what does it mean when I get my results? What does a high-risk result mean? Because, or what does a low-risk result mean, right? And if you get a high-risk result, it means you're going to be offered a diagnostic test, but have understanding that ahead of time. So basically kind of going through all your options and making sure that you understand what's available so that you can make the best decision for yourself.
I love this because, you know, I'm a fan of reaching out to people like you all and get some counseling and advice and coaching. I really do believe that because, you know, where you are is you're in the middle of a situation with yourself, your body, and you don't know who to go to or what to ask. And there's always a barrage of friends that want to tell you what to do, right? You know that.
Yep.
But I want to make sure people do know how they find out more about what we're talking about, because you and I are not just chatting. There's actually a place people can go, a website, where they can find more information, right?
Yes. So certainly, of course, you can always talk to your, you know, OBGYN or your nurse midwife. But for more information about Natera's Panorama test, which is Natera's NIPT, as well as, you know, genetic education services, you can visit www.natera.com, and that's spelled NATERA.com.
You know, I want to ask you these last couple of questions because I love the advancement in science and where, you know, where we're going. You know, for example, I just got two total knee replacements last year, and it was more like something from Star Trek, like the enhancements in science and technology. I'm not kidding. It's just like blew me away. And, you know, I'm pretty informed, and I didn't know that they mm-hmm. had been that advanced in what they do. What are you seeing from where you sit about this? And what are you seeing if you were to look out? What excites you most about being able to share this message with people?
I think what's really exciting about this is, you know, screening for genetic conditions mm-hmm. has been around for 40 years.
Yes.
Right. It's been around. Yeah. And, but now with NIPT,
yeah,
it's the most accurate screening test. Now it's not a diagnostic test. It never will be, but it is the most accurate screening test that's available. So, you know, you have less chance of getting, you know, a false positive or a false negative. Mm-hmm. Fewer people are being referred to do these in more invasive tests. So it's really providing that reassurance to more pregnant patients than we ever had before. And it's easy. It's a blood test. And so that's, I think, you know, being able to do that at your doctor's office or even from home, right? If your doctor orders it for you, like that's, I think that's really the benefit.
You know, I want to talk about this last thing before you go. One of the things I've always found is, especially in being in support of my friends and family, is that even after you get your results back, it's like, now what? It's one of the most important aspects, I think, of pre-anything, pre-care, preventive care. I don't care what you call it. But in this case, you are providing a forum for people because it answers the question, now what?
Exactly. It does. And, you know, information is power. It's the option to be prepared. You know, if you get a reassuring news, then it's kind of like, okay, well, good. I feel reassured. And if there is something that, you know, is at higher risk and you go on to the diagnostic testing, you have the option to do that. And, you know, I've seen a lot of patients, you know, over my career who having this information and being able to be prepared during the pregnancy, being prepared at the time of birth, delivering at the right hospital to make sure the right specialists are there. I mean, just having that information is life-changing, right? It's just, it really is empowering.
So thank you for everything you're doing. And again, I would love for you to tell people again how they find out more about this. And then last question, I'd love to know your personal message. I'd really like to know what you'd like to leave us with today.
Yeah, so you can get more information at www.natera.com, and that's spelled N-A-T-E-R-A.com. And as a final message, I think it's really important to discuss with your healthcare provider all your genetic testing and screening options so that you can be informed during your pregnancy and get the amount of information that's right for you, right?
Absolutely. I love it. You know what? The art of asking questions is probably one of the most important skills we can learn to be in the forefront of proactive care. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Let's take a short break, everybody. Again, you've got the website, Pay It Forward. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Pat.
Thanks for everything you're doing. Thank you. This is one of the scariest things that happens for moms.
It can be.
It is. But thank you. Because what you're doing, you're reducing stress, you're reducing worry, and you're really saying to everybody, look, we have a way to do it. Thank you all for doing that.
Well, thank you so much for letting me spread the word.
You bet.
Tune in to the Sacred Attunement Show with Asher Countryman, unlocking the power of mind, body, soul abundance. Tune in every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Asher as she guides you to sacred attunement. Align your mindset and your actions to master your life's purpose. Discover more at SacredAttunement.com.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on for another Transformation Great News segment, Innovations. Innovations in cardiac care. Now, did you know that the innovations in cardiac care can save and improve the lives of children with heart disease worldwide? You know, growing up, I lost an uncle who struggled most of his life with heart disease. But what today, if we knew and understood what the possibilities of innovations, creativity, and science are? One in every 120 babies in the U.S. is born with heart disease. And Dr. Jonathan Chen is joining me here today, Chief of Cardiothoracic Surgery at Cardiac Center at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. and we are about to shed some light on the amazing world of innovation in cardiac care. Dr. Chen, thank you for joining me here today.
Sure, happy to be here.
You know, I think about this because I think about my my family, and I think about, you know, how little we used to know not too long ago. And then I think about doing an interview with you today and having a conversation, number one, the state of the union in terms of children with heart disease, but then even more importantly, what are the innovations and what have we learned? What is sort of the state of things? And what do people not know about children with heart disease?
I think by the state of things, if you mean how far we've come, you know, we've certainly come a tremendous way in the last even 10 years. And by that, I mean in our understanding of the genetics of some of the congenital heart disease, and probably as important with all these great imaging modalities and technology that helps us better care for these kids and also have sort of new advances and new approaches to treating them. I think sort of globally, when you think about how many kids who have procedures, either catheter-based or surgery as newborns or infants, about 85% of those kids will go on to live on to adulthood, which is a tremendous advance when you look at the arc of our field in general. So, you know, the future is bright in that sense. And in fact, there are more adults alive today with repaired and unrepaired congenital heart disease than there are children with congenital heart disease, which is a relatively new tipping of the scales. And it's the result of just great care, right? That these kids are living on. And, you know, so that brings up a new challenge for us also, which is how do we care effectively for adults with congenital heart disease? Because they need specialists both in the congenital heart side and then also in the adult medicine side, because just because you have congenital heart disease does not mean that you can't get cancer or get pregnant or smoke or all these other things that adults do. And so that's a whole new challenge for us, but a welcome one.
Yeah. And thank you for saying that, because you're absolutely right. You know, just because, you know, you have gotten, you know, your, let's just say, dose of congenital heart disease, it doesn't mean you're immune to other things. So it is quite a multi-layered, it really is a multi-layered situation to really look at. I want to ask you this question. I think most of the time people are baffled by not being able to detect, to diagnose. You know, even as an individual, whether you're a parent of a child or you're an adult and you see somebody with some symptoms you don't understand. Can you give us an update on what do people look for when we're talking about heart defects? And then what does the science do to help us diagnose and treat?
Broad questions. You know, I think certainly today, a lot of the complex congenital heart disease is being diagnosed prenatally. So while the baby is in the womb. And that has been a huge advance. And, you know, by about 20 weeks gestation, we have a pretty accurate idea of what kids will be born with. So that has changed the game for us in terms of preparation, both for the parents to understand what the plans will be, and also for us as clinicians to sort of orchestrate the ballet that is the delivery for some of these kids. Symptoms as you grow older depend a lot on the specific kind of heart disease you have. So in some instances, it can be exercise intolerance or shortness of breath. You get tired more frequently. And in other instances, you can get lightheaded or have arrhythmias. You know, it really kind of depends on the heart disease. The sort of mainstay of diagnosis is to see a cardiologist. And so for children, that means a pediatric cardiologist. So that's a heart doctor specializing for children. And in adults, obviously, that's an adult cardiologist. And they will then, perform the battery of tests that help us get to the root of the problem. Now, mind you, some of these symptoms are very commonplace, right? Shortness of breath can be from any number of different things. So it may not be heart disease, even though the symptom could make you think that it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to ask you this question. I know that you're in this field, obviously, because this is a passion for you and a purpose for you. When you think about, you know, where we were 10 years ago, where we are today, and you take a sneak peek out to the future, I want to ask you, what are you most excited about with innovations in this area?
I'm excited about a lot of things. I will say that there are several things. One is that I think we're getting each year incrementally closer to understanding the relationship between genes and one's genetic profile and heart disease. And as you know, there's been this push over the last 10 years for the Human Genome Project has gotten us closer. And nowadays, it's not uncommon for us to get a whole genome sequence on a baby. And that, as we start to collect that library of information, we'll know better in the future to be able to say, here's an individual, they have this many genetic abnormalities. We think that it's going to be heart disease and this and this and this, and that this child should have this particular approach, as opposed to this other child who has some of the same cardiac problems, but not these other problems genetically. And that sort of personalization of the medicine is very exciting, because I think it speaks to the way technology interfaces with medicine. In our field, we have a lot of technology advances that help us for surgeons. It can be mechanical assist devices that are getting smaller for children, or certain kinds of valves. For the catheter-based guys, they have catheter-based valves, sort of like what Mick Jagger got. He got a transcatheter aortic valve a few years ago.
Yeah.
But it's, the one of the biggest excitements for me in the last few years has been the incredible advance in terms of over time of imaging. So CAT scans and MRIs now, we can import those images into the virtual reality domain. So we can actually climb into the heart in virtual reality, imagine the sort of connections that we need to make the blood flow the right way. And that takes out a lot of the, not the guesswork exactly, but the game day decisions in the operating room. We can pre-plan a lot of these operations. And with the valve repairs, we can actually trial some of the valve repairs and see which ones are the most effective. And that is going to be incredible. If that technology advances as quickly in the next 10 years as it has in the last three, it's going to be a totally different field for us in a good way.
I'm really, first of all, I'm very grateful for you and the incredible team. And I am talking about a team. I'm talking about a team of people right there at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. It's a team of people. You perform, close to 1,000 pediatric heart surgeries a year. You're right there on the pulse of things. You see it every day, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a busy place. Yeah. And, one of the things that's I think incumbent to us in our field is when we gather, heart disease in children is the most common heart defect, one in roughly 1% of the population. But these really complicated, complex heart problems are relatively rare. And so it's kind of incumbent upon us in these big centers and also in all the other small centers as well to gather together our information so we can have that pattern recognition. Because, an infrequent diagnosis, if you gather together the entire country's experience, becomes something that's a little bit more common. And then we can start to see the patterns about how we treat these kids best. And so that's really, one of our demands for the future.
I want to thank you so much. I have one last question. How do people find out, first of all, more information about this? And then I'd love to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us all with today.
The easiest way to find information is probably at our homepage, or at least a good place to start. So that's heart.chop.edu. So heart.chop.edu. And that has links to other, websites. And it also has a lot of information on how to contact us if people would like to talk to us directly. And, I think if I had a message for everyone, this being Heart Month, and, in particular in the context of the COVID crisis and how, complicated that has been for all of us, I think, across, to try to refocus, is that, heart disease is challenging. It's exciting for us how many advances are being made. The future is really bright. I think for those who have had loved ones with heart disease and those who may have loved ones in the future who have heart disease, it's important to get, connected with the communities of families who can help support you, and also to the right places in terms of the medical community that can help guide the therapies.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing these interviews. Thank you so much for caring.
Sure. Happy to do so.
All right, everybody. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.